Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, a production of the Rave Reviews Book Club. Today, Rave Waves presents Raiders, Not Haters. I'm one of your co-hosts, Lonnie Deshay from Tacoma, Washington, along with my counterpart, Shirley Harris Singer from Oak Creek, Michigan. Hey, Shirley.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Hope you are too. Our other co-host, Joy Nuoso Lobamajoka, is not here today. She is off traveling the world. So Shirley and I are going to hold down the fort by ourselves. And as we found out on the last show, that can sometimes get a little crazy. We're here today to share our honest opinions about some honest reviews of books we've read. I know it's a new concept, honesty and reviews, but we're committed to giving just that because, once again, we're raiders, not haters. We will also be opening the phone lines to callers who have questions or comments, but you must have pre-registered your phone number with us in order to participate via phone.
We'd love to hear from you listeners with your comments and questions on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC Raiders Not Haters. You may follow along on Twitter by typing hashtag RRBC Raiders Not Haters into Twitter's search box in the top right-hand corner of your Twitter page, and then clicking on the tab that reads Latest. This segment of Raiders Not Haters is being sponsored by Kiss Revenge by Ryza author John Howell. If you'd like to know how you can get your own recorded commercial to air during one of our shows, please visit the Rave Waves tab on the RRBC site or by clicking the link in the show description on your screen now.
Today, each of us will be discussing our reviews, or shall I say our honest opinions, of the books we've read. Shirley, how about we start with you? Which book will you be sharing with us today? Please give us the complete title and the author.
Well, it's called The Altar Boy, and it's by Phil Stevens. And could you hold it just a moment? There's someone on the line. I need to click and find out who.
Sure.
Hello.
Hi, Shirley.
Hello.
This is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
Hi, Joy.
Hi,
Ronnie. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, so you're here?
How's everybody?
You're in the show with us?
No, I'm just trying to see what I'll be able to get to call in, and I called in. It's a miracle.
we haven't done anything with the titles just yet, so I know you don't have any questions. So.
No.
We're so glad
just
to hear from you.
Just let you know I'm listening in. Yes, and I'm happy I was able to call in. Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear from you, and that's okay that you busted through. I mean, we know you're out there.
Yes.
Add a little variety to the show. Okay, I'm going to go back to the title of The Altar Boy. It's a dark tale of comedy, sorrow, and the Catholic Church in the 1960s. So it really sounds like a thriller, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, let me just describe what's going on. It is an unreal yet believable story about a family, the priest, and the Catholic Church, in that order. Carl is the main character. He and his brothers are sitting in a bar trying to figure out how to deal with their father, who has been absent for years, now showing up to see all of them. Their mother, Madeline, and Father Jacobson have been in a relationship for years, and it has profoundly impacted their lives and why their own father was pushed out. They were never sat down and told why this priest was always lurking around their home. Yet somehow, that's right, yet somehow Mike, an older brother, finally explodes on their mother because he figured out what was going on and resented Father Jacobson's intrusion into their lives. Carl, being the youngest, was the last to find out. I can understand how something like this can happen, The church is held in such high esteem, and the priests were revered. So it's easy to see how Father Jacobson slipped into their lives in broad daylight. How does a man stand up to the church? That must have been the question Mr. Sanders was asking himself every single day as he watched his marriage crumble. Even after he went to the hierarchy of the whole mess was just covered up, and he gave up and left his family. I laughed throughout the story at the author's sense of humor when describing his boyhood antics. He was named the cootie doctor to ward off any cooties the boys contracted from being around girls. The cooties I never heard of in my neck of the woods, but I just laughed when he was telling that story. He was named, hunting for bats, drilling a hole in a tennis ball covered with tar and placing a hole in the pole, breaking out windows, playing sports, fishing with his dad, all the things only a boy could love. He also loved rock and roll, music with a passion, and it was evident throughout his writing. More descriptions of Carl Sanders' growing up years. Living on Lieber Road is classic Phil Stevens. St. Macarius and Lieber Road. St. Jerome and Lieber Road. Carl's description of his grade school teacher, whose name is Miss Wee Wee, pronounced Wee Wee, had me in stitches as he tried to suppress a laugh as only a child can do. And there was the altar boy's shenanigans. All the while, Father Jacobson is in and out of their home on a regular basis. This story is a classic case of children carrying the sins of their parents right in front of them. It is about the Catholic Church being the problem instead of the solution. Now, I didn't give it high marks because there were some editing issues going on that took away from the story because it was throughout. And, so we can, having said that, Ronnie, from what you heard me talk about, what is your take on it?
Well, I haven't read this book. Although I may have to now, I'm surprised you don't know about cooties. I mean, cooties.
My brother wasn't around. What, they didn't do that to us. So I missed that in my childhood.
I was a kid.
They did things, but that wasn't what a name that I heard being, bandied about.
it was a thing when I was in elementary school, especially, back before boys started liking girls. Cooties were definitely something to be very afraid of if you were a boy.
Well, I don't know if that was a cultural thing or not, but I guess we had our own thing. The girls played with the girls, and the boys played with the boys, and you didn't go around the boys because they were just boys, You didn't do that. So I think all of us had our issues with the. That's what separated you from the boys and the girls growing up, so you could grow up normally, and then you got into them as you got older.
Right.
I was just gonna say
I know nothing about the Catholic Church, but I was always under the impression that the priests were supposed to be celibate, or am I wrong?
They're supposed to be, but look at all the scandals that's going on now. Is that celibacy? No.
Well, no.
So if they were doing that back then and they're doing what they're doing now, what else is new?
Well, I always hear on the news and everything about the priests that are in trouble for getting a little bit too close to the little boys in the congregation. But, you never hear much in mainstream about the priests who are with the women of their congregations. You just don't hear about that. I assume that they were not supposed to be doing it regardless, but it seems, like in this book, there's a priest who has stepped across that line. I guess, people are people, men are men, and you may go into something saying, I can follow this rule, keep my pants zipped, but you get in there and maybe you find out you can't. I don't know.
Well, there's always there's always enablers, and the whole diocese was enabling him. They knew this priest was out of control, and they just covered it up like they always do. Even in life, we're seeing it played out in our own government. You know, they're covering these people up, even though he's telling you in plain daylight what he's doing. So it's no wonder that in this story, the father felt helpless because he was up against the Catholic Church. And
well,
otherwise, he wouldn't have allowed
him.
What?
No, I said, I absolutely understand that feeling of helplessness when you go up against the church. I get that, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's how he was able to just continue it and just be bold with it, you know. And the mother's mistake was not sitting her kids down and talking to them. She was doing it in right in front of them. She should have let them know what was going on because they felt like they didn't know what was going on, and this man was always there, you know.
Right.
So, and until the oldest son finally exploded on her and told her what he thought about the whole setup, because he was an altar boy. This priest was always around them, and their dad was gone, you know. So I don't know what that was about, but I thought that he just intruded on that, this priest intruded on that family, and he was wrong to do that. Definitely wrong to do that. And getting out, Phil Stevens, throughout the book, he's playing different rock and roll songs that he remembers hearing at different stages of his growing up years. And I was going down memory lane reading it. It was so nice to go down memory lane like that. So I like that about his writing. But then when he got into this school teacher, I guess he got in fourth grade and he met Mrs. Wee Wee. Now, you know, he's a little boy. These little boys had to do everything they could to keep from laughing in that classroom. And she told them to please address her as Mrs. Wee Wee. Okay.
Okay.
I thought I was going to fall out laughing so hard.
That's funny.
Yes, it is. And then he's got to describing the different this new home they moved into that eventually they couldn't keep up because she was trying to keep it up by herself with her husband gone. And every church that they were into led to Lieber Road, which is the name of the street that they lived on. And so it's funny how he described all of that. And the shenanigans that the altar boys did, you know, they were this elite group of kids that were favored, highly favored, because they were altar boys, you know. And I remember when I wrote my own book, I talked about the altar boys in a reverent way because I admired them so much. And I admired them because they was there every morning before the crack of dawn, going to church, help serving the priest, and one of them was ringing this bell because we had a bell ringer that in our church, and you can hear that bell for miles around. But I just admired them for being able to, their parents helping them to get up to take care of these awesome responsibilities, and they looked so awesome up there on the altar, you know, serving the priest. It was just, and now I'm new to Catholics, you know, I'm 8 years old, so I'm new to Catholicism. So this was all, I was just in awe of all of that.
Hmm. We are
okay.
Here on Twitter. Should I read a couple of those?
Sure you can. Go ahead.
Okay. Ron Yates says, "Beware of lurking priests. Sounds like a black mass."
That is so funny, Ron. I don't see his. Oh, there it is. He also says a lot of nuns, especially in previous centuries, would suddenly show up pregnant. I can tell you it wasn't from the Holy Ghost. There had to be a horny priest or two lurking around the convent.
And Beam Week says, "I remember cooties."
That's why I said I wonder if it's just a cultural thing between races, because what you all may have called cooties might have been something different, although I can't exactly put a name on what it would have been for us, but it's the same dynamics. The boys stayed away from the girls, and the girls stayed away from the boys.
Well, and then Jan Sykes says, I think cooties are specific to little boys, and I think she's right about that.
Yeah, it's really, and if she's thinking it, that means she may not, Jan, you may not have heard about it too. Am I correct, or are you just commenting and making a statement on it? Anyway, it's too funny.
Pops in and says, hi, ladies. Sorry I'm late to the show. Cooties were very contagious when I was a child on the East Coast and West Coast. Altar Boy
now,
is on my TV in the left, and I cannot wait to read it. Great review.
Oh, great. That's for us. and we have Joy on the line. Did you want to say something, Joy?
Yeah, I was listening to you. I haven't read that book, but when I noticed that Shelley was going to be reading that book today, I just started because I'm going to quickly read it and then make up my own, you know, thoughts about it.
Right.
But then,
right.
As we're talking about priests and, you know, the problems we have in the Catholic Church today, about those priests that, you know, molest those under their care. If you notice, these are just things that happen in, not just in the Catholic Church. I mean, when it happens in the Catholic Church, it becomes, so blown out because of the fact that, you know, priests are not supposed to be married, they're supposed to be celibate, and they're supposed to be caring. And then when they turn around not to be any of those things, it's so sad. This particular priest here took the time to choose where to go in the most remote area where, you know, kids are so vulnerable. No voice. They
don't
even communicate with anybody. So they just go ahead, do their rocking business, and the order in which they belong protects them, hide it.
Yes.
I was surprised. I was even shocked to hear that most of the time the Pope doesn't get to know about these happenings. And the Pope comes to know about them when it's already too late. But the order in which those priests belong are those that are responsible in protecting the priests and not the children that they're supposed to take care of, which is very, very sad.
Absolutely.
That's my take on that.
Well, you know, I remember growing up, we had heard these stories about the nuns getting pregnant and aborting these babies. I mean, I heard that stuff all when I was little.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I heard that. We had one girl who wanted to become a nun, and in our church, we had the Oblate Sisters of Providence, which I talk about in my first book that you all may have read and may have not remembered this part of the story, where I talked about these nuns, the Oblate Sisters of Providence. Well, in our church, we had a teenage girl that got into the order, and then suddenly she left, and nobody heard anything. The same with the boys that wanted to be priests. Some of them would go in, and then you would never hear anything else about it. It was always, I know in the case of the black boys, I'm pretty sure a lot of it was when they got in there, they were discriminated against. There was racism going on, and they just decided to get out because they didn't want them becoming priests anyway, because then they would be taking control of their own destiny. And that's what I found out in my own research. But so they're guilty of a bunch of different things, and that being included, they were not the moral authority on racism at all. They were part of the problem there as well. So now let's move along, and we can go to, what I would like to do now is just take us to a commercial, because we need to pay the bills. So hold on a second.
America loves its newest hero, John Cannon, and the president wants to present him with the highest civilian medal for bravery for saving the Annapolis midshipmen from a terrorist plot to destroy them. While in Washington for the award ceremony, John unwillingly becomes an accomplice in another plan by the same group to attack the credibility of the president and the stability of the worldwide oil market. There seems to be no way out, as John either becomes a traitor to the U.S. or causes thousands of innocent people to die if he refuses. The second in the John Cannon thriller series by author John W. Howell, His Revenge, offers just as many of the same twists and turns and then climatic ending as his first book, My Girl. Another home run for John W. Howell, reads one review, and those words are enough to make me want to snag a copy. His Revenge by John W. Howell on Amazon in Kindle or paperback format. Get your copy today.
Oh, that sounds like a good read. So I think I have it. All right, ladies. What we're going to do now is let's go. Ronnie, what book will you be sharing today, and who's the author?
Okay. I am reviewing Visitors, a Short Story Mystery by W.J. Scott. This was a touching little story about what can happen when you keep your eyes and your mind open. Brody and his little brother are sent to live with their aunt because their mother is very ill. The aunt is an artist and lives in a small, reclusive town where time seems to have stood still. It doesn't take long for the boys to grow curious about things going on around them. As young boys often do, they decide to investigate. What they discovered was not a surprise to me, but the story was still a great read. Brody was the man of the house at that point in time, and he took his position very seriously. I love the relationship between the two boys, as well as their devotion to their mother. This is a great little read, and I recommend it to anyone who likes a happy ending. I know that short stories are often restricted by a word count, and I'm guessing that was the case with this one. I wish it could have been longer so that readers could look a little closer at the town and the people who lived in it. Also, I didn't see a lot of depth in the characters, and I think a greater word count would have resolved that. But overall, it was a twist on a classic tale, and I really enjoyed it. Shirley, have you read that one yet?
No, I haven't, but I can definitely relate to it. And, you know, little boys being curious as they are, you know, and making the most of their situation. So it does sound like a good read. So I certainly will have it on my radar now. And
It was really fun.
What?
I think it was really fun. There were a couple of things that kind of threw me out. There was a couple of places where the dialogue didn't seem natural between the aunt and the boys when she was explaining things to them. It was more like she was talking to adults than children. And, you know, there was a situation with the aunt sending a gift to the mother that the mother just threw away, and it was never really explained why she did that. So there were a couple of things that I think could have been explained if the book had been a little bit longer. But, you know, I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I would like to see this story maybe used, expanded, and made into a novella or even, you know, a full-length novel. I think it has a lot of potential. It's a great premise. And I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it's nothing we haven't heard before or seen, you know, on TV. It's a very classic tale, but with the little boys and the aunt and all of that, it just kind of gives it a kind of a fresh look at it. And I would really like to see this book expanded.
Yeah, well, listen, we have a caller on the line. I believe this is Forrest. Just a moment.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, Forrest.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing great.
I'm doing very well. Been recovering from a pretty bad injury for a little bit, so I'm doing much better now. And I thank everyone for all the support they've been showing for the past couple of months, especially the past month. So, but your topics definitely intrigued me today. I myself, Shirley, you probably didn't know this. I actually grew up Catholic. I was in the seminary for a year. And some of the things you said were kind of, they hit home a little bit in more than one way. But it was very interesting about your analysis of the altar boy. I already had it on my TBR list, but I think your review just bumped it up. And I remember Cooties very well, and I'm not that young. So all of our circle of friends, and it didn't matter if it was my East Coast friends or my West Coast friends, and, oh, if you got the Cooties from so-and-so, here you go, tag. And it was very contagious, very scary to us young boys back then. It was hilarious. Ronnie, your review actually intrigued me too. I have not heard about that book yet, and I'm going to add that to my TBR list as well. I love small town stories when it comes to coming of age stuff, and it sounds like that book kind of goes that direction as well.
Well, if you're putting it on your TBR list, then my work here is done.
Well, it was great talking to you guys. Exactly.
Well, it was great hearing you guys today.
And, yeah, I know for a lot of you guys I've been kind of quiet lately, but I'm coming back. So it's thank you for everyone for the support you've given me.
Yes. I was telling Ronnie that I'm so busy back and forth that I catch things like somebody being sick here or somebody, something going on there, and I'm getting flashes and I'm not able to just pinpoint. So if I've been silent, it's only because I've been distracted myself. So I hope you are. I'm glad that you're doing a lot better for us.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I have a term for that. Yeah, as a social worker, we kind of have this unofficial, we call it squirrel-itis or something shiny. We get distracted by what's going on around us, and we forget to focus on the here and now. And, yeah, that's kind of what I've been dealing with. So.
Okay.
But yeah,
I have
it was great hearing you guys.
Syndrome, so I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for letting me call in. It's a great show today.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Forrest, for coming.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shirley, I have a tweet here I got to read from Nani Jewel, and this just cracks me up. She's responding to the post that Ron Yates did about lurking priests. She says, "What's a black mass? Never heard that term before."
Oh, there it is.
I can honestly say I've never been asked that question.
Okay, Nani's recommending Visitors to anyone. She says it's a cute little read. I don't think short stories are for you because I'm pretty sure I've heard you say the same thing about other short stories. That's Nani. And she also, she says below here, Joy is on the phone, but she's not at work today. That's unheard of in the workplace, LOL. Yeah, Joy made it her business to be up in here, even though she's not supposed to be here. We love you, Joy, for that.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies, it looks like it's time for us to wrap up this show. I want to thank my co-host, Ronnie, for being a part of the Raiders Not Haters team. Ronnie, this has been so much fun. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this episode of Raiders Not Haters. There will be no show in December. We're all taking the holiday off, but we look forward to you joining us for our next show in the new year of 2020. We're your co-host, Ronnie DeShone.
And I'm Shirley Harris-Slaughter, wishing you all a wonderful Thanksgiving. And remember, when you're in the business of reviewing books,
be a writer, not a hater.
Not a hater. We're signing off from Ray Wave's Blog Talk Radio, where all things are our passion. Bye for now.